The BBC presents Gordon Jackson in The Same River Twice, a serial thriller in 8 parts by Edward Boyd. Johnny Maxson, at the request of his mother-in-law, is reluctantly searching for his estranged wife, Julia, missing for 3 months. The search so far has led to a suicide, Sandra Bailey, the death of Julia's ex-lover, Tom Armstrong, and the suggestion that there was something suspicious about the accident in which Johnny's daughter died. Now a policeman, Inspector Wardlaw, makes his contribution. The Same River Twice, Part 5.
Good morning to you, Maxson.
And to you, Inspector.
I have a car at the door.
And where are we going?
For a wee run in the country.
In this fog?
The forecast says it'll clear before noon.
And the object of this excursion?
We think we may have found your lost wife.
The forecast was right. The fog did clear up long before noon. And the landscape was a sudden recollection. Lovely and skeletal with winter. The loch was the color of Indian silver. Islands lay on it like domesticated whales. Its beauty even got to Inspector Wardlaw. What's that you're singing?
Oh, it's just a little mouth music.
What are we going to find here?
I haven't the vaguest idea.
What does your Highland intuition say?
I always leave it at home when I'm working.
Where is she?
Now, don't jump to conclusions.
All right, then, where is whatever we're going to see?
There's a wee old schoolhouse not far from here.
I know it.
It's been lying empty for years. The district just ran out of children. We should practically be there now.
It's just round the next corner. The little schoolhouse stood just off the road, as though frightened of the things the road was always bringing. It was a repellently ugly building that grew like a wart. A stone wart on the land's lovely face. The windows were jagged stars defined by shards of glass. The old stove had been split as though by lightning, and the stove pipe seemed to have been caught in an elephant stampede. There were empty tins everywhere, and the walls were defaced with writing and old food. The blackboard hung desperately at a crazy angle. On it, someone had chalked a pious wish about the future of the Bishop of Rome. In the center of the shambles, a clearing had been made for a trestle table. Something lay on it, covered by a tarpaulin.
Maxson, I should explain...
Let's get it over with.
I know, but I should...
That's what we came down here for, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Then let's get it over with.
Very well.
Fear death by drowning. That's what the poem says, isn't it? Fear death by drowning.
Maxson.
Now I know what it means. Now I know.
Mr. Maxson, can you identify the body you've just seen?
Yes.
Is it the body of your wife, Julia Maxson?
Yes. It's Julia. When as in silks my Julia goes, then methinks how sweetly flows that liquefaction of her clothes. Liquefaction, the perfect word. The action or process of being liquefied. Reduction to a liquid state. Liquefaction. Julia had been in the water for 3 months. We went back to the car and drove off, but not in the direction of the city. Wardlaw's face was shrouded. He said nothing, but you could feel that he was, well, the only expression is, suffering. This is the road to the hotel, isn't it?
That is where we are going.
I think we could both use a drink.
We'll have one, certainly. But I have official business there as well.
You never get used to it, do you?
Is that a general statement, or do you address to me particularly?
I was talking about you.
Then you're right.
You live among it day in, day out, but it always gets you fresh every time.
I have this reverence for life. I was taught it by my father, a poor crofter who had nothing else to give me, and yet he gave me this important thing.
I don't know whether to pity you or envy you.
It will make no difference either way. When I see things like this, I can believe in the devil still walking the earth, destroying without need and without meaning.
Julia drowned. It just doesn't make sense.
Why not?
She could swim like a fish. She was proud of it. She was one of those people who affected to despise sports because they themselves are no good at them. At the same time, they're inordinately proud of the one sport they excel at.
She drowned just the same? I shall be at the hotel most of the day. There's no reason why you should have to be.
How do I get back to town?
I'll send you back in the car. You have things to do.
And people to see?
One person in particular.
Yes. Yes, I'm not looking forward to that.
I sometimes think that women are better conditioned to disaster than men. Especially mothers. They're realists, you see. They hope for the best, but are never surprised at the worst.
Here's the hotel. The bar parlor remained the same, small and dark and warm. A man stood at the bar. He wore the clothes that only gamekeepers wear. A dog sat adoringly at his feet, and his game bag lay on a bench. In the corner, his gun was carefully stacked. He was tall and rangy, and had astonishingly light and steady eyes, and was born out of his time and out of his place. 80 years earlier, he would have come riding into some western town, tall in the saddle with his gun strapped low on his thighs. Wardlaw went off without his drink, and I went over to the man at the bar. He greeted me with a classic Scottish greeting. You've been away in Tibet, or 3 years in outer space, or maybe only visiting Burns's cottage, or several years in jail, or collecting the Nobel Prize, or whatever. The greeting remains the same.
I see you've got bark.
Yes. How are you, Bob?
Oh, fine, fine.
Good, good. How about a dram?
Thank you, Johnny.
Still the same system here?
Round the bar, help yourself, leave the money.
This must have been the first self-service place in the country.
Oh, wouldn't you be surprised?
That's a new dog you've got there, Bob.
Bess. She's a good yin. But don't tell her.
In case she asks for more money. What happened to Nell?
Was she going to go past it again? Then she went blind. Had to be put down.
Happens to all of us. Here's your dram.
Thank you.
Slanger?
Your health.
Did you find her, Bob?
Let's have another dram.
Did you?
I did.
And you're here to talk to the police?
I've been talking to them the whole morning. Now it seems as this inspector come down for the town.
Where was she, Bob?
I saw Jez Rock.
The current always brings them in there.
That's right. You mind day three canoeists 7 years ago?
What time was it when you found her?
It'd be back 8 o'clock. I've got some traps doing that yet I was going to look at. Bess here was running on a heat and I heard her barking and went out.
Did you recognize Julia?
I did.
Where did you go to phone?
Up to the forester, who's it?
That would take you about 15 minutes.
Less.
Did you just report a body, or did you tell the local police you knew it was Julia?
I told them I thought it was her.
That's a funny world.
It's all right.
Let's drink to that, Bob. I'll get it.
No. You've got to let me start my hand.
I'll be barman, then. How does this bar ever make a profit?
Doesn't it?
I thought not.
There.
Thanks. Health.
Cheers. Are you still the fastest gun in the district?
You mind of that, do you?
I'll never forget it. Until you showed me, I never believed all the stories about Wyatt Earp and Company.
Aye, there were good days, these. With you and her and...
Sarah. It's all right, you can say it, Bob.
Oh, man, Johnny.
My daughter drowned. My wife drowned. What did I ever do to the element water? Did you see much of them after I left?
No. It was a long while the cottage lay empty, and I would keep an eye on it if I happened to be doing that way. Then Julia started coming back again. She was just the same to me, but I couldn't have thole the kind of folk she brought down with.
Maybe they were the kind of people she really wanted all the time.
Oh, no, Johnny. You're wrong there.
What makes you so sure?
It was a gay eerie thing. About a year ago. The spring run was on and there was word of poachers, so out I went to earn my corn. It was a grand night, full moon. And then I heard this noise and crept up to see what was making it. And there was Julia, sitting there, all alone, greeting as if her heart was broken.
Did you speak to her?
No. I just went quietly away and left her. I mean, what could I have said to her?
Where was this?
Well, you see, that's what made it so eerie. It was at the Soldier's Rock.
I see.
Mr. Robert Smith?
That's my Sunday name.
I'm Inspector Wardlaw. I'd like a wee talk with you.
Well, as soon as you like.
If you'd just go through to the manager's office, I'll be right with you.
Fine. Nice to meet you again, Johnny.
No, it was all that, Bob.
Good day to you, then. Best.
Bye.
You've been catching up with the local gossip?
More or less.
The car is ready to take you back to Glasgow.
Sometimes I think you're a very devious man, Wardlaw.
Now, tell me why you say that.
I've been listening to the local gossip.
What have you been hearing?
That Bob Smith found the body just after 8 o'clock this morning. That he recognized Julia. That he said so when he phoned the local police.
That's true.
What time was it when you called for me?
Oh, about 9, say.
The local police didn't waste much time getting in touch with you.
They're a very sensible body of men.
Or maybe they'd been asked to contact you immediately if anything turned up concerning Mrs. Julia Maxson.
That is a very reasonable deduction.
You expected something like this, then?
I never really expect anything, Maxson. I simply try to allow for every sort of eventuality.
So you kept me on the hook all the way down?
I did nothing of the kind. Look, Maxson. It is very difficult to know what is the best thing to do in these circumstances. It's a conundrum to which I have never found an answer. Perhaps the most satisfactory answer is that whatever I do is liable to turn out to be the wrong thing. If I have anything to apologize to you about, then please accept my apology.
I'll go back to town.
But being sensible now.
Go easy with Bob.
I always go easy. They call me the Kid Glove Kid.
That wasn't the name I heard.
No?
No. I heard they called you Mac the Knife.
The police car took me back to town smoothly, quickly, officially. I dozed off once or twice, but no one arrested me for it. Soon we were in the city's chaos, and the police driver was muttering words I thought policemen only uttered when they were giving evidence in cases involving breaches of the peace. He dropped me at the flat, and I trudged upstairs. and after a while made a phone call.
Helen Duncan speaking.
Hello, mother-in-law.
Johnny, I've been wondering why I haven't heard from you.
Things have been a bit fraught.
Anything to report?
A lot. As usual, I don't want to talk about it over the telephone.
Then come along and tell me about it. I read in the papers about Tom Armstrong.
I'll tell you about it.
It was him then, was it?
Yes, it was.
Johnny, how awful.
Look, Helen...
Is Julia involved in this? Hello? Hello? Are you still there, Johnny?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, I thought we'd been cut off. I was asking if Julia is involved in this.
Not anymore.
Well, that's a relief.
Oh, I have to go now, Helen. There's someone at the door.
See you when you arrive, dear. Goodbye.
Bye. Coming. I opened the door, and there she was. A tall girl, a slim girl. Dorothy Havergal, the original cookie girl, who would once do anything or go anywhere. Touch her imagination and she was in orbit. But that was in another country. And besides, that wench was dead. And in her place, there was a woman. R.I.P. Dottie Havergal. Hello, Dorothy.
If you let me in, I promise not to touch you.
Nothing doing. I've met your kind before.
How are you, Johnny?
Confused. How do I look?
Well, you don't hear me singing, Johnny, I hardly knew you.
Come on in, you nut.
Which room are you haunting?
That's right, straight through there.
My father told me you'd called.
I knew he would.
That bohemian acquaintance of yours who went to Paris telephoned you last night at a ridiculously late hour. It will doubtless please you to know that he is still an insufferable puppy.
Why is he going to let me play with the grown-up dog?
You shouldn't do it to him, John.
I'm sure all these years he's missed me. What's the use of being pompous if you've nothing to pomp about?
I remember this room.
And so you should.
You'll never guess what I'm doing now.
Surprise me.
I'm working in a school for handicapped children.
Well, well, the rebel finally found a cause.
Darling, you sneer just as well as ever.
What else do you do?
You mean men, of course.
Of course.
They come and they go.
I like that.
It makes for simplicity.
You never feel you're running away from something?
The only thing I'd ever run away from is you.
The last time we put that to the test, it turned out the other way round. I did the running away.
I hear you've got a marvellous girl in Paris.
Who told you?
Pete Hodgson. I bumped into him one night in a coffee bar. He told me he'd met you in Paris and that you got sloshed together and that you had this wonderful girl called Solange.
Trust Pete to get his priorities right.
What brought you back, Johnny?
To see you.
Come off it.
It's the craziest thing. I didn't even know it myself. I didn't even know why I'd come back until I opened that door just now and saw you.
That old feeling.
Ah, the tragedy of my life. Every time I try to be serious, everybody falls about laughing.
I'm not laughing, Johnny, oh no. Laughing makes you vulnerable.
Chicken.
What about the girl in Paris?
She's... my girl in Paris.
You're still at it.
What am I at?
The Dracula bit. You find a victim, suck her dry, then move on to the next one. You nearly destroyed me once. But I've picked up the pieces and I've made something of them. I've come to terms with my dreary, stodgy parents. It works. I've got a good thing with these handicapped children. It has purpose. I have friends as uncomplicated as I can find and... just enough loving to keep my ego warm. I've made it all easy, Johnny. I know where everything is. I can reach out and find it in the dark.
So?
So, please be kind, Johnny. Just for once, think of someone else. Because if you say the word, I'm just fool enough to walk straight away with you and leave it.
I'll be kind. I'll even tell you a charm against vampires.
I know it. Garlic.
I want you to do something for me, Dorothy.
If I can.
When I phoned you last night, I genuinely wanted to see you. Now you're here, I wish the circumstances were different.
You're not making sense.
I had a call from the police this morning.
You're not in trouble, are you?
Not that kind of trouble.
What kind, then?
It was about Julia.
What's she been doing now?
Her body was washed up on the shore this morning, about a quarter of a mile from the cottage.
Julia.
The police reckon she'd been in the water for about 3 months.
Oh, let's get out of this place, Johnny. Please, let's get out. Now, Johnny, please.
Now, stop it, Dorothy.
Please, Johnny, now, let's get
stop
out.
Stop it, you hear?
I'm sorry.
Think nothing of it.
Oh, darling. First Sarah, now Julia. What can I say? What can anyone say?
Nothing.
What was it you wanted me to do for you?
I've changed my mind.
You could be making a mistake.
I've got to break the news to Julia's mother. I was going to ask you to come along with me.
Of course I'll come.
No.
But why not?
Because I've just promised you not to be a vampire. I've got to do this in my own strength, not yours.
All right, Johnny.
Let me get started, then, before my courage oozes out of my boots. She walked with me to the taxi rank and waved as I drove off. And sitting back in the leather scent, I was aware of something. A feeling that was strange and yet distantly familiar. I kept seeing this feeling as a stretch of golden sand and a long, hot summer day and a boy running towards a turquoise sea. And then it dawned on me, incredulously, I was happy. And the irony blinded me. I was going to tell a woman of her daughter's death, and I was happy. And then I was there, in the house. And she was there, too.
Come in, Johnny, come in. Draw into the fire and sit down.
Oh, you're becoming a real old telly addict.
I am indeed. I watch everything, even the horse race.
What would the minister say?
Why else, when he's here, he watches it with me.
Good for him.
Turn it off, Johnny.
All right.
There's shortbread over there if you want it.
Oh, no, thank you.
You don't eat half enough, Johnny.
Oh, it only seems like that because most people eat too much. We'd better come to the point, Helen.
What happened to Tom Armstrong?
Two men beat him up and he died.
Oh, it's senseless, senseless.
No, they thought they had a reason.
There's no reason justifies that.
You remember the girl that was found in Julia's flat?
The one that was going to have a baby?
The baby was Tom's.
That's no reason for killing.
They didn't mean to kill him. They just didn't know their own strength.
Well, it's an awful thing to say, but anyway, Julia wasn't involved. Was she, Johnny?
Helen, I've too much respect for your courage and intelligence to beat around the bush any longer.
She's dead, isn't she?
She was found drowned this morning.
Drowned?
Yes.
Where?
Not far from the cottage, the Soldier's Rock.
I always hated that cottage from the minute I set foot in it.
I know you did.
I remember one day, looking from the window, the mountain across the loch, that big black mountain. And I said, I wish I had faith so I could move it. But it wasn't the mountain, Johnny. It was the cottage.
Helen.
Houses can hate you, Johnny, do you know that? And that cottage hated us. There could never be happiness there, nor any luck but bad.
Oh, come now, Helen.
How many more people have to die to prove it? How many more victims do you need?
Helen, that policeman wants to come and see you.
Oh, let him come. I'm by caring.
I'll bring him along tomorrow. What can I do, Helen?
Oh, just leave me alone, son. Just leave me by myself.
I can't do that.
Go away, Johnny. Just leave me alone.
All right, Helen, if that's what you want. If there's anything I can do...
Sarah. Julia. My two drowned darlings.
Around the corner there was a phone booth. I called the minister and asked him to go round to her. He said he would, and I thanked him. I walked through the darkening afternoon to the flat, which maybe was as hostile as Helen said the cottage was. As I walked in, the phone was ringing. It had to be the inevitable Inspector Wardlaw. Johnny Maxson?
Wardlaw speaking. I was trying to get you earlier.
I was out, breaking the news to Julia's mother.
What did you tell her?
What kind of a fool question is that? I told her that Julia had been found drowned.
Then you misinformed her.
What's this?
Your wife was not drowned, Maxson. According to our forensic experts, she was strangled.
Fifth part of The Same River Twice, a serial in 8 parts by Edward Boyd, was produced for the BBC by Eddie Fraser.